Hey, what's up? I'm Vanessa.
I'm Mary.
I'm Gillian.
I'm Rivka, and this is the very latest episode of the Fufu and Tips podcast.
Your go-to place for relatable content for the African diaspora down under.
The blacker the podcast, the sweeter the bands. Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, hey, hey.
What's been happening?
A lot in
the pop culture
in the
world.
Pop culture
in
world.
The land of tea.
Too much.
Tragic.
Forced tea, really.
Very.
Yeah.
Forced tea.
Anyway.
Why are you laughing?
No, I just think the events of the last 24 hours.
Yeah. They have been wild.
It goes to show, I don't believe what you see on camera, babes.
Yeah, seriously. But before we get into it, we do have a very special guest.
Mm-hmm.
We have the lovely Henrietta Amavor.
Hello, hey. Hello.
If you don't know, Henrietta is an amazing actor. She just finished up Is God Is.
Wow.
An African-American playwright, which you could say is basically a horror film on stage. Yeah.
I think why are you laughing? Is that a shocking description?
Because, well, I don't know. I think maybe because I was doing it, it didn't feel like horror.
Okay.
And I remember talking to Gillian the first time you saw it and you were like, oh my God.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it. I was like, yeah. What the heck have you guys talked
about? There was death and violence.
There was a lot of that. There was.
And it was very like, for something that's on stage, it was like, there was some of it where I was like, oh my gosh, this is real. Yeah. And someone from the Sydney Theatre Company had to tell me like, you know it's not real, right? But I think when I watched it the first time,
do you think it was real? Like,
no, she was just saying, no, like our reactions towards it, because a lot of us had like such strong reactions.
Yeah.
And so she was just like,
just imagine,
you know, it's not real.
I was stiff
because I think it was because I told you, like the marketing was pink and hunky-dory. Yeah. Like it was just cheerful. Mm. And then when I watched it, I was like, this is not what I expected.
The marketing was wrong. The marketing was definitely wrong. I can't
lie.
And
I watched it with my friend, and my friend was like, I'm scared. I'm not coming back to watch it. And she's actually the one who mentioned the marketing. And then when I thought about it, I was like, that's a very fair point. Because she read the reviews.
Pink. Yeah.
And she was like, the picture and the reviews don't match.
They don't match.
But whatever.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, oh, two sisters going on like a fun trip.
A journey.
And it was nothing like that. So I was like, what the heck's happening? So then when I watched it the second time at opening night, it was very different. Like I heard Mary cackling.
Yeah.
I heard people laughing. And I was like, oh, this feels different.
It's different because the night that Mary, did you come on a Friday?
No, she came,
on the opening night.
There was black people in the audience.
Yeah. There sure was.
Like, when there are no black people in the audience, it's quiet because they don't know whether they can laugh or whether they can make noise. They just want to listen.
Mm.
But when there's black people, then they understand the jokes. They understand, you know, the little subtleties. They just get it.
Which makes sense because that first night when I watched it, you guys came out to me and told me that you saw seven black people.
Yes.
And I thought, okay. But then the second time, I was like, oh, now I get why they've been counting the black people. But also, I'm really shocked that you were able to see people. Because when I stood there, when they did the talk,
I couldn't see anyone. Yeah,
to
be fair, sometimes you can't see anything. But then there are some scenes where you can, like, see.
Because of
little,
the lighting and the.
Yeah, because of the lighting.
There's different flashes and, like.
Yeah. And there's points in time where, like, we're looking out and we can't see anything. But then there's other points where you look out and you can see, like, blackheads. And then you know.
Blackheads.
That's
and then you know. There's blackheads. Seven in the audience.
But can you tell us a little bit more about you?
What you do.
What you do.
Background.
You know.
Yeah.
Give us a little something.
Yeah, so my name is Henrietta. I'm a voir. I'm Ghanaian.
Yeah,
I do acting. I've been doing it professionally for the last, since 2018. So whatever that maths is. And I'm at uni. I do
interviews.
I'm at uni. Yeah. I'm trying to
you
finish.
Your schedule is packed.
I'm almost done. Yeah, I'm almost done. One more semester. I'm almost there.
Oh, one more semester.
Yeah, one more semester.
Good job.
And then I'm done. Yeah. I'm done.
It's not easy.
The way she said when we walked in, she said, I'm done. I'm done. I'm going to be done. It's like she has to convince herself. I'm like, babe, it's okay. But yeah, she is ready to be done.
I am.
But
yeah, but that's me.
I love that for you. We're going to talk a lot more about what you do. Mm-hmm. But like we said, this has been a juicy fortnight in the world of popular culture. I myself was leaving a conference to the bathroom to come and collect tea.
Yay!
I was
Rebecca,
even,
you are very shameless.
To watch the Love Island final. She will.
Don't expose her. No,
this is actually Gillian's fault. Texted me.
Wait, what happened?
I was in Canberra.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I was like in a conference. Yeah. And I'm just looking. It was so boring. And it was not the part that I was in was boring. And Gillian texts me, she's like, Rebecca! Rebecca! Like, bare exclamation marks. I'm like, what is going on? And then so the first thing I did was I sent my friend Basil, like, can you please go listen to the receipts so, like, I know what Gillian's talking about.
Oh, is that what you did?
Yeah, and then she was like, obviously it came at the end of the episode, yes, right?
Wait, when was this? What are you talking about?
Oh, Milena leaving the receipts.
Oh!
Like, oh, okay.
So I'm like, I'm not on board.
So I'm like, oh. And then she was taking too long. I'm like, let me just skip forward to the last part. And I just was like, little earphones in. And then I left. But I knew it was going to happen. But that's not the main tea that I'm going to discuss today.
You knew it was going to happen?
Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Oh, yes. There was signs.
No, Rebecca actually knew because Rebecca had been hinting things. Me, I don't know. I just
if you're on Twitter, like, the Twitter was on fire.
What were the signs? But was it because was she signs? Was like, oh.
No, so I'm on the receipts official page, they did a collage for Tolly's birthday, right? Mm-hmm. And they were like, "What? Everyone in the comments, comment what your favourite thing about Tolly is, right?
They didn't do one for Milena.
And then Milena's birthday was 1 week later.
Ooh. Nuts. So who'd be running that page?
That's so rude.
Anyway.
Yeah, that is really rude.
And then everyone's like, oh, I have a weird feeling about this on Twitter. And then they're like, I feel like the podcast is going to end. Is Milena leaving? No. And then Ty replied and said, it's not ending.
Oh. What is this? Is this like so when Angela like, Yee left?
So it's like, you're addressing the fact that it's not over, but it's then you're not over, saying but she's not leaving. So obviously she's leaving. I didn't like any of her posts for a long time. It's all from the TL, by the way. And yeah.
So you think it was internal conflict?
Strife, yeah.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
What is the, well, yeah, what's the, like,
are actually friends?
What's the story?
Are they all friends?
Guys, well,
you're asking too many questions.
Yeah, you know what?
Literally every episode receipts.
You
guys
know. I'm on Twitter. Like,
well, I have commentary so that I'll theory? Keep oh,
okay.
off air.
Anyway. Okay, fine.
Now I want to hear the commentary. Yeah. Yeah.
So,
just the working theory. Like, what's the theory behind that?
Yeah.
So some people say.
If you want to, you can throw allegedly in there too.
Allegedly. Some people, some listeners of the podcast allege that Tolly and Audrey have never really rated Milena like that. They've kind of just been a bit dismissive towards her, and people have claimed to notice this over the years on air.
Mm-hmm.
And Milena has recently really grown, been to therapy, because she had a really horrible traumatic childhood that made her very, like, yeah, it was a really, really unfortunate childhood. And I guess because she's now in a stable relationship as well, like, some people get into a relationship and they realise what they're worth. Like,
is she the one with a kid?
Yes, yes. And they're like, she just grew out of, like, she's just over being treated that way.
Yeah.
And she's just done with the...
And from a listener's point of view, do you think that's true? Is there merit to what they are saying? Do they kind of dismiss her?
Ooh.
I...
Do you know what? It's funny because I started listening to the audiobook.
Of? Mm-hmm.
Their receipts.
Their book?
Yeah.
They have a book.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And Rebecca told me to listen to the audio, but funnily enough, the chapter that I just listened to while I was driving here, she talks about how
Milena.
Yeah, talks about how her, like, anxiety and stuff, and she's always second guessing herself. That sometimes when she's on the pod and she talks, or when she thinks, she holds herself back and just lets the other two do the talking, which I thought was interesting because I'm like, people would probably translate that as, they don't let her talk, but part of it's her stopping herself because she thinks maybe what she's going to say is dumb or be judged, that type of thing. Because she was saying that she's actually very different to how she was when she started, where she would just say whatever.
Yeah, which is like the other extreme.
Yeah,
complete left.
But do you think that also has something to do with, like, the environment that's been created?
Girl, for me, I don't know. I don't care. I just listen for background noise, you know?
That's sad.
Okay, so Audrey and Tolly are both West African, and Milena is Colombian. And because of that, I guess the creative black world in London is, like, tight-knit, and so they run in a lot of the same circles, Tolly and Audrey. And I feel like because of that, they obviously go to I have a lot more mutual friends and obviously naturally have much more social things in common, which is fine, whatever. But I also feel like sometimes some people, even that I've noticed from generally Black British platforms, they don't have much interest to know about things or cultures outside of their bubble. Mm. And I felt like when Milena has shared things about her culture or shared things about her background, they're like, oh, okay. And they called her white, which is like, I get that. Yeah, like Tolly called her white. And it was silly because she's half Indigenous Native American and her mum is half Black.
Yeah, her mum's half Black.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah. And
she always says my mum's Afro.
Milena looks very clear Latina. Like she looks like a Latina woman. Do you know what I mean? And, like, I feel like it might not just be exclusive to them. I've seen it in other things. There's this ignorance towards experiences that aren't their own. Milena's also queer. And some of the things they've said just haven't sat right with me, especially because, like, she's right there, bro. Like, and they wouldn't have it the other way around, in my opinion.
Okay.
But...
well, then good for Milena.
Yeah. Good for Milena. Right? I think, yeah, anyway... yeah. Moving swiftly on.
Oh, it wasn't supposed to be that long?
Okay. Yeah, anyways, yeah, so Jamie and Nikkei.
I know. Oh!
did you go up on Nikki or
not? Not really. Oh.
Yeah, Jamie and Nikki.
Okay, can somebody give us an overview of what's happened? Because
do you actually not know, Mary?
I don't know the full story. I saw the TikTok summary that we shared a TikTok summary within the group because nobody was going to listen to
you. I haven't listened to it either.
And do you know how I got
I haven't listened
summary?
To it.
My group chat from the UK.
Oh, great.
Sent it to me.
The Black World.
They were on it. So they woke up in the morning. So this was after Milena. They woke up in the morning and they said, girls, the world is popping. And then they said, Gillian, do you know terrible. What's up? And I said, no, because I don't watch them, so I have no idea what's going on. And so I just sent it to Repka. I said, oi, give me info because these people are on me.
Did you watch them when they were vlogging as a family?
It got to a point I just couldn't tolerate him
but
anymore.
But you did a little bit.
Yeah, I did.
Did you?
Cringe.
I didn't watch them, no.
Okay.
But I knew of them.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't watch them.
Yeah, so he made an hour and 23-minute video claiming that she was abusive, manipulative, refused to work.
refused to work. Tables have turned.
What was it? Also,
and then there was like voice recordings.
Yes,
I saw those in the videos. The video.
Yeah,
where she was
yelling at him
and dissed his mental health.
Yeah, said you're the
What did she say?
So Vanessa, you noticed because.
It's
everywhere.
Socials.
Everywhere. Yeah. She pretty much said to him, "You're depressed. You have no friends. You have no family.
I don't trust you."
That's exactly what she said
to him. Yeah. And in her response, she did apologize for that comment.
Yeah, which was but sad. It was sad.
Yeah, that's so
he claimed that she was abusive, had been physical with him on multiple occasions, and he did post a screenshot of her apologizing for hitting him.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, clearly I didn't watch it.
Wait.
Okay. He said, I'm sorry for hitting you. There's never an excuse for that. Mm.
She said that in the recording?
No, by text. He posted screenshots.
This man had
He had receipts from 2016. 2016, babe.
That's really crazy.
But also, that seems a bit...
calculated?
Yeah. This is the thing.
So he's gone, he's sat there and scrolled.
Back to 2000 and whatever.
Or he's put keywords. He went to the Apple store and he said, I need to find text messages from 2016.
And he was like talking about how he has no money now because he is legally limited to posting the girls once a week, his daughters once a week on any platform.
So find something else.
That's the only thing that gets views.
I really feel like that should be illegal. Even having family should be illegal. Why is your income dependent on
this? Link to their children.
Yeah.
Get a J or B.
And the thing is, your child doesn't have a choice.
Exactly.
They really don't. You're actually exploiting them.
I think there's going to be a generation of kids suing their parents for this.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, actually, do you guys follow or have you seen Belief in Fatherhood?
No. What's that?
He started taking down, like, over 100 videos because his kids don't want to be recorded anymore.
Do you know what? I saw a YouTube. I love that. I saw the subject line and I was like, is this real?
Yeah, they took it down. They took it down because the kids were like, we don't want to be recorded. Yeah, and that's the thing.
The kids.
Like,
that's even
you plastic in their faces all the camera in their face all it's the time. True,
yeah.
The kids are just like, how
are these not kids natural? Though?
They're like, one is, I'm speculating, but I think like around the ages of 5, 7. The
and for them to know like that
they're vocal, wow.
Yeah. Imagine like you're born and the camera's in your face.
In your face all the time.
And they've been on camera for a while.
And you can imagine that like pretty much. Have a full routine around being around the camera.
And
it's too much.
Even them
it's
as a family, because he does a podcast with his wife. And I think there's been times where they've stopped.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because it's like, it's like they're bringing their marriage stuff online.
100%. And even the family, because I love them. So I used to watch their videos. Belief in Fatherhood.
Yeah. Black guy.
Black?
He's a black
guy.
Yeah,
they're black. Yeah, it's a black family. And they even, they hired a videographer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
To follow them around.
What? Yeah. So, so can you imagine the videographer is in their home? Recording.
No, I
can't. And he even has like the.
The vest.
Yeah, the vest.
And then the pole coming over.
So you can't do anything.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's getting, that's it's getting too much.
But that's probably not their only income like these two. These people relied on it.
Yeah.
But what else does Belief do? Isn't it just the podcast?
He does music, he has his podcast. I guess like brand deals, but the brand deals come from the video.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's still all links.
Like their life has changed because
Jamie
of the
is
income.
Now driving Uber.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, but he ain't no shame in the game. No.
There's nothing wrong with that.
That doesn't kind of make sense because he actually had a profession before. He was a videographer before.
Well, he said he's been having health issues.
Oh.
And he would have also been out of the game if he was always recording.
And also the place that he alleged when they got divorced that she moved on the other side of Melbourne, pretty much on the outskirts, and where he is, he can't get a 9-to-5 because it's so far. And if he does, he wants to see his children every day or be able to see children, drop them off to school and stuff. And if he did 9-to-5, his commute would be late. That's what he's saying, babe.
Saying he can't get a job because he wants
to do remote work.
Good. Something isn't there, I don't know.
But you could do remote
work. Sorry?
You can do remote work.
But anyway.
He can even...
When he's in the... Like, I get it because they're apparently allegedly in the sticks.
They have to be if he's preparing all of this.
Mate.
Oh my god.
Anyways, so a couple of days ago he deletes the video.
Oh, he deleted it.
Yeah,
he deleted the video. Why did you waste everyone's time?
Anyway, so we're thinking maybe his ex, like
what
Nikki.
Was her response? What was Nikki's response? Hey, not the last. She said, "Let me."
She said,
"Let me get on my ass."
I know who that means.
Don't worry. It's coming.
I said the summary today. I haven't watched it though.
Oh, okay. Sorry. The thing is, she was going. She promised a video.
And
then she said, "I don't want to go back
I
and
saw
forth
that.
On the internet."
And you don't owe anyone the video.
At all.
That's
the
thing.
Like, and then
why
she was like, "I'm just
going to
address this one time on my stories," and she just did text on her stories.
Hey. Spark notes.
I know you're not reading the whole thing, are you?
No.
Okay. No, she's got.
So she said, "This is a highlight." Addressing what I said, Jamie removed the video. Simply because he saw that people weren't buying his story. I have had no contact with him since he posted that video, nor have I threatened legal action.
So really?
He allegedly deleted it unpromptedly.
Okay.
Because people were saying this white man drag is just an idiot.
Hmm. They're both saying they care so much about their kids.
This
they don't
is
want their
honestly,
kids to see it.
That's what I'm like praying for, man. There must it's be so. Sad. Anyways, she refuted all of that. She pretty much said he's narcissistic. He has been. He is the one who cheated. He also accused her of cheating on him with her ex. He said that the videos that he showed were reactive. So there's such a thing, obviously, as reactive abuse.
Mm-hmm.
He'd provoke her. He'd say something horrible to her. So the main video that everyone was shocked by was her
when she was
smacking
the
camera
baby.
Out.
Yeah.
Grabbing the baby out of his mum's hands, and so she had come back to the house to collect some clothes, and he was pretty much telling her to get out and that she's a slut, and. You can't be calling me a slut in front of my kid.
That's what she claims?
That's what she said, yeah. He was calling her a slut, telling her to get out. She's like, I'm not getting out. I'm going to cut my stuff. She also said that she has never thrown anything at him. She did not address the screenshot where she apologised for hitting him. And she also said that he is the one that doesn't want to work. He is the one that insists on putting a camera on everyone's face. When she gave birth, he did not even wait more than a few days to post it. She's like, can I please have some time to check with my baby?
Then my stitches heal. My God.
Before we share with the world, he was like, he accused her of sabotaging their channel when she said that. And he put it up anyway. Yep.
No way.
The once a week restriction was on her behalf because she's over having her kids online.
Yeah,
and she got it down to 1 week. So yeah. Ideally for her, I guess it would be nothing. Zero. But that's what she got it down to. And yeah, so there's that.
People just need to leave their relationships off the...
Who sent you to tell us all this?
Yeah,
just like Jada, who sent you?
Why please.
Why?
Anyway, sorry, Jada's... Yeah, anyway, that's an incredible fall from grace. Jada and Will. But yeah, it's just... These, I feel like there's going to be a huge, like, collective fallout from these family vlog channels in the future.
Yes.
Like, it can't be healthy. There's no... Sorry?
I was going to say, did you see... sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. But did you see that video? It might have been years ago of the mum being like... quickly cry to the camera, cry to the camera.
Yes, I see it.
Yeah, she's like, do your face like this. And the kid's like, I am crying because their dog died. And she's like, do your face like this, like cry.
But then who put that up?
She accidentally posted it at the end of the video.
She didn't delete it. She didn't edit it out.
She didn't crop it.
Oh my god!
And the poor kid,
the dog died, bro. The kid's gonna be sad.
And the kid's like, "Mom, I am crying." And she's like, "Quickly!"
No. And every time I'm just like, "How are parents just?"
Yeah.
Do they not like think about the repercussions?
But you have to think. You have to think. There's money to be made from
this
video.
That's their paycheck.
Sorry, go on.
Like, YouTube is paying bank, you know? Like, people can make serious money from these videos. TikTok, like...
Brand endorsements.
Brand endorsements. It's all there. Yeah. So that's probably what she was thinking, the bag.
Yes, yeah.
She's probably thinking, the dog has died. Oh, premium content.
And that's the thing that Nikki said about Jamie. She tried to get him to adhere to a contract where a portion of the funds would go to the kid's future. He said no. Said I want every cent for myself.
So it sounds like you're on Nikki. You believe everything Nikki said.
Not everything. Okay. I think.
You think there's some truth to what he said as well.
I think there's clearly a lot of toxicity there.
Mm. Mm,
definitely.
And yeah. I've never liked that guy. Mm. Like, I've never liked him.
I've met him.
Have you? I've met him.
Yeah, years ago when I was doing YouTube, like way back in the day, I went to this YouTube Creators Day thing, and he was there.
What's his energy?
Yeah. He was fine. Like, he was just there. I didn't really spend much time talking to him, but I just remembered that.
I just think he's a huge fetishizer.
Yes. He's randomly liked my photos.
Yeah, of course he liked you. I know.
I got black. Literally.
Like, I remember one time, this is what made me hate him. He went, I don't even know him. But anyway. Sorry. This is when I stopped watching their channel. Like, I
know what you're going to say.
What?
Blitchin. The Blitchin thing?
Yeah.
Because you probably said it before.
Yeah. I'm so annoyed.
What are you talking about?
You say it. I said bleaching.
He vlogged himself with his wife, ex-wife, obviously, going to an African store. And then he's like, oh, guys, they sell bleaching cream at this store. Look at this. I think it's so wrong. And he, like, filmed himself confronting the shop owner about why they shouldn't sell bleach.
Did he actually confront?
Yeah, he's like, you shouldn't sell it, whatever. And then afterwards, he went on this rant with his wife. He's like, I think it's wrong for people to not accept their color, man. And he was like,
this wigger. You are the one that's not accepting your color.
Exactly. And then he was like, you know me, I think that I love my dark chocolate. I was like, and then she was there being like a moo-moo. Like, I was like, I had to stop watching. And then he said this thing about how Nikki is classy, unlike a lot of women in the South Sudanese community. Like,
I remember that.
And I was like, let me check my laptop. This is years ago, before the woke revolution. Gosh. But like, yeah. Mm. Anyway.
Can we please move on?
Yeah, let's go. Bad vibes.
That's terrible.
I know.
That was a lot. That actually drained me.
Anyway,
I just feel like...
What else is happening? DJ Envy.
Oh, I don't even get that one.
You don't get
What's going on there?
Okay, so you know how... So he's into property and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he partnered up with somebody who... I think the person was doing like buy, renovate, sell type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And flipping, so they started doing... Yes, that's the word. Flipping. So they started doing like seminars... And basically, he was taking money off people using DJ Envy's name. So it's like...
DJ Envy was the face of it.
Yeah.
He was basically, using DJ Envy as the face of it. And he was just taking people's money and not doing anything with it.
So it's a Ponzi scheme, pyramid scheme.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Wow.
And so, yeah, DJ Envy, I think, is facing questioning. He's made the guy sign an affidavit, whatever, saying that he was not involved.
How would you not know?
DJ Envy said that he's been scammed, he like 500K. He definitely knew. Like that. So, like, now when I watch, like, Breakfast Club interviews, I, like, scroll down.
The comments. Yeah. The comments are hilarious.
No, this one lady called him a slumlord. I was... he was interviewing, they were interviewing her. I forgot who it was. And she was like, so you're a slumlord. Because he was trying to explain what he was doing. He's like...
How does he explain it?
Because he pretty much owns entire apartment blocks in the hood.
Wow.
And then he
rents it out. And then he's like...
DJ Envy.
While they're renting, they can save up to buy. He's like, I'm trying to encourage people to buy by charging the rent. You're not the landlord. I don't get it. And she's like, so you're a slumlord? And he's like, oh, no. Started stuttering.
I have to see that clip.
No, it's not. Really. It's so funny.
I actually
Henrietta's even coming to look for it.
No, it's actually,
let me cackle a little bit right here.
No, it's actually so funny because he was really stuttering and Charmaine was like, you know how Charmaine laughed?
That stupid guy. Oh, seriously. My God.
Anyways.
Yeah. The way that unfolds is going to be interesting.
And the way these seminars were packed.
Yeah.
Oh, these that's rich dad, sad. Poor dad Negroes
yeah.
are.
Oh. Yeah. So everybody's trying to look for something. But that shows you the economy is hard.
Yeah.
People are just looking for a way to call themselves out to get their own.
Yeah. And also, Envy has made money. Like,
yeah.
Besides him being a DJ,
he has multiple streams of income. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
he's done the property thing and he said that that's really helped him out. So, like, and he always preaches it on the Breakfast Club. So, like, of course, you're going to be swayed. Like, if you're listening to them like that, you're going to be swayed. In some shape or form.
Yeah, and there are a lot of dumb people out there.
Unfortunately.
Like, there are, unfortunately. And, like, easily led.
Yeah.
And desperate.
But anyways, Breakfast Club has numbered days anyway.
Yeah, they should have just... same, eh?
You just axed it when Angela went.
Yeah, sometimes really? Just...
It's funny because a lot of people saying she wasn't carrying it.
She was
it.
Not... See, for the last 4 years, I don't think she was even...
No, I'm not saying... They should have taken it as, like, a sign. Yeah. I'm not saying she contributed much. I'm just saying...
I just think with Jess Hilarious is actually... I don't watch the whole thing, but I think it's pretty funny with Jess.
Yeah,
I think she vibes with them very well.
I've listened to like a few episodes, and like I've laughed. Kiki.
Yeah, like you know? I think so she vibes like, oh, with them right. really well. Like I think she brings a good energy, but then she's not there all the time.
But the glory days are done.
Yeah.
Isn't that like a lot of things? Like it's like when do you know is the right time to stop?
But that's what I'm saying. Like. You don't want it to drag out so much that people forget
and
the glory
do it gracefully.
Days.
Yeah, you know?
Like you don't want to have it so it's like,
you want to bow out on top.
Yeah, yeah. Like people remembering your flop era instead of the good stuff.
That's really hard when that's like your income.
But is it
their multiple streams
but,
of income?
Yeah, but is it their flop era though?
I'm not
their flop era. Yeah. But again, the glory days are really over. I'm saying like,
but is it glory days in terms of like the way that they were controversial? And
like remember the moments world? Like fucking put some respect on my name and like. What's the other one?
Dre?
Dre?
Yeah.
Dre?
I don't even know how to say what he says.
What is the highest key from the world? It was such a moment. Like,
yeah, right. But that was literally like 2 years ago.
No,
that
was 3 years ago.
Soulja Boy.
It was before the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like those things happen on podcasts now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
You could literally sit there and watch the whole episode of The Breakfast Club. I could never do that now. Never.
Okay.
No.
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
The whole thing?
Yeah. If I was really interested in the person.
And the guest?
Yeah.
No, but that's the episode. That's, as in, like, that's a guest.
That's just an interview.
Sorry.
That's
what I'm talking
thing.
About.
No, but that's not the whole thing. The whole show is like
it's
2 hours.
It's a radio show.
But it's a big chunk. A good hour and
it's
plus.
It's an hour. It's, they usually have
but
how much longer is it?
It's usually like 40 an hour.
What? No. Yeah. The whole show or the interview?
The guest.
Yeah, the guest is
it depends on how good the guest is.
Yeah,
okay. Fair.
Do you know what I mean?
But they've been having very niggerish guests lately.
Like
I don't know. Just this, like every time.
The one that
I'm... Shiesty, I don't know.
The just one people you don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one that I saw today was the City Girls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
was it like...
But you know what? Really it's because they're with
BET now. They didn't give much.
Don't you think? It's the only...
No, well, the City Girls, apparently they released an album. I don't know.
Oh.
What do they but even like, sing?
I don't know.
They just had that one song and...
What are the real
yeah.
The broken back. Oh, that's it. Yeah. That's just,
yeah.
You know it.
Anyway. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's important to know when to
quit.
Wrap
to
it
quit.
Up.
But someone here
wants to go
seriously.
It's important.
But someone here is not quitting anytime soon is Henrietta.
Yeah.
Segway, baby.
That's Segway. On the breakfast club, you know? Anyway, thank you. So please tell us the origin story of the actress that is Henrietta. How did you get into it? Why did you get into it?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about your path.
Yeah. So basically, I was doing it. Every time I say basically, I think of that kid. So basically.
Not you thinking in memes.
I know, right? It's my framework. It's either memes or lyrics. Yeah.
That's sound like Mary.
So I started in high school. I did drama in high school. Yeah, I had a teacher who was like,
oh, another teacher. Shout out to the teachers
that actually invest in this.
Right? For real. And this woman has like invested. Like, aww. I remember like I was kind of just bludging through drama. Like I wasn't really taking it seriously because I was like, I'm having fun. Like it's fun. And I remember her pulling me aside, just being like, oh, like, you know, you could actually properly do this if you put in the work and the effort. Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, well, if you say so, then, because she was the drama teacher that everyone respected. Like, because she was honest, but she was also like our person. Like she was direct, but she was also close with the students. So we just would trust her opinion.
And she was like a cool teacher? Or?
Yeah, she was cool. Like she was older. Yeah. Like,
it's always the older teachers too.
Yeah, she was older. Yeah, she was definitely older. Yeah, but like we respected her. Like whatever she said, we were kind of like, oh, okay, we really respect her opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
So when she said that to me, I was like, damn, like, okay, I need to get on my Zoom.
Gotta get on your Zoom.
And I did. I really did. Everyone in a 10. So come my year 12 monologue, I was just like searching for a monologue for me as a black woman to do. And that in itself was like a mission because at the time I didn't know what to do, what to like. There was no monologue for black women apart from like Precious. Yes. Wow. So I probably did like every scene out of Precious. Even my little sister did Precious. Like, every day Precious.
So, depressing.
Yeah. Until like 2 weeks before the HSC, someone found me a monologue. It was Lady Day at Emerson's Bar and Grill. And it's actually showing right now. So we went and watched it together, my drama teacher and I, like 2 weeks ago. Yeah. So
is this the drama teacher that came to see you on that Friday?
On the Friday? No, she came. She did come, but not on the Friday.
Okay. Because I met someone who said that she was your teacher.
Oh, that lady. No, she was a teacher at my school, though.
Okay.
But not my teacher.
I know. That's very cute.
Yeah, it was sweet. Like, a few teachers actually came.
Oh,
Nice. It's actually like, I was like, oh, this is nice. Like, thanks, guys. but yeah, so I say all that to say, like, the monologue made it to on stage, which is basically like, if you get 10 out of 10 for your monologue, then you can perform it at the Seymour Center. Well, they choose 4 monologues in the state.
It's like when they do visual arts and they put it in the gallery. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Okay,
it is. I can't remember what the visual arts one was.
Art Express.
That's the one. Yeah, Art Express. Yeah. So the drama one was on stage. So I performed the monologue and I was like, damn, like,
I liked it.
I was like, wow, you're laughing at my jokes? Like, you think the girl's funny?
She's such a Gen Z. I love her.
You really are. Oh, God.
And then after doing that, I obviously just went straight to uni. I didn't really know how to actually, like, get into, like, acting and doing it for work. Because no one I knew at the time did NIDA. No one, like, was acting for
so
money.
So how did you pick what you wanted to study?
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to do PR. Okay. Like, that was it. Like, I just wanted to do public relations because I wanted to travel and talk.
What were you watching? The Hills?
I feel like at the time, when was it, like, 2016? It was just like public relations. You would just travel and
it was the bad chat. It was the bad bitches profession.
Everyone wanted to do PR at some point, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually get into a PR course.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. So the second option was digital and social media.
Okay.
I'm doing that at UTS. Yeah.
Cool. Cool.
So I was doing that, studying, and then I lost my train of thought.
You changed degrees?
Yeah, I did. But in the studying with the acting, yeah, I was like trying to find like on Facebook things to do just to like stay in the world of acting. Mm. And then I found Ebube. She had written. Yeah,
what's that?
Yeah.
She's the other actor.
You know her. Yeah, you know her. Yeah, but she
shout
was
out
doing,
to her because
yeah,
she's amazing.
Shout out. Yeah, she is. She had written a piece with Powerhouse
Youth
Theatre.
Say the name.
Ebube.
Okay, sorry. I thought you said Ebube or something. Oh, like, okay, Ebube. Sorry, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, now. You get, sorry.
You know. But yeah, she was doing something with Powerhouse Youth Theatre in Fairfield. And she posted something on her status on Facebook. And she was like, yeah, I need actors. You know, it's an open audition. So I was like, oh my gosh, yeah. So I had told her that I would come to the audition. And then at the audition, it was only two people who showed up. Me and another girl. So she was like, all right, cool. Well,
you guys, you're in.
That'll do. Oh, damn.
So we did that. And then the following year, I did PYT because it was an ensemble theatre. So basically, you do it for a year and they're teaching you, like, different skills. And, you're just, like, amongst other young people who are passionate about theatre. But not everyone's an actor. Like, some people are into filmmaking. One person was a comedian. So it's just like a mixture of different artists.
What does PYT stand for?
Powerhouse Youth Theatre.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then from there, like, I just kept looking at things on Facebook. And then I auditioned for my first ever show. It was called The Rolling Stone. I got that and then just, like, found myself into the world, meeting people. Mm. I met my friend Chika, and then she wrote like a four-piece play. It was called The House at Boundary Road. Sorry, she didn't write. She wrote the fourth half of the four. So basically, parts? Like, yeah. So there was four parts, and each part was written by a different person. Mm-hmm. And she wrote the fourth half of the play.
Okay.
And I did that with my friend Mike. And in the audience was a casting director one night, Daisy Hicks, and she DMs me like, a year later, being like, hey, I saw you in that show, House at Boundary Road, and I was doing YouTube at the time. So she's like, oh, I've watched your YouTube videos. Oh. And do you want to audition for this TV show? And I was like, okay. So then I auditioned for it, and that was Bump.
Bump.
Yeah.
That's when Bump came in.
That's when Bump came in. Yeah, I have, like, the story. Like, yeah. It's so, like, there in my head. Like, I can just see the timeline of events so clearly. Mm. So I auditioned for Bump. Thank God I got it. And then when she called me to say that I got it, she's like, do you have agents? Like,
like, you sorry.
Did you know? Did you have an agent?
No, I didn't. Okay, I didn't. Mm. And she's like, all right, cool. I'll connect you to, you know, some really great agents. And then that's how I found my current agents. And then everything kind of just
so agents more than one.
It's an agency, and okay. There's like multiple agents within it, but it's one agency.
Cool, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So do you have like a different agency for theater productions and
no, it's all one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then yeah, the rest is just.
Were you enjoying your degree at this time?
Yeah, honestly, I really enjoy what I study. Okay. I really love international relations. It's just interesting, and whenever I do an assignment, I try and do it on like. Ghana, or if I can't do Ghana, then I'll do Africa.
I love that.
Yeah. So like, I was trying to find some way to like fit in some country in Africa. Like, the question we'll be asking about Russia. I'll be like, Russia's effects on.
Oh my God.
Big mood.
So, because of that, I enjoy it, but it's just long. It's just long.
I appreciate your hustle for a Gen Z-er because we've learned that these people don't like to work.
You think so?
Girl, we know so. Not we think, we know.
Anyway, it is well. obviously you're Ghanaian, like you said, mm-hmm. you've got the migrant background. Mm-hmm. How receptive were your parents to you going into acting?
My parents surprisingly were okay with it. Only because my brother does music.
Yeah.
And he
took them the way.
Yeah, ready, yeah.
He paved the way. He took He took the fall. He took the fall because when he finished high school, like, he knew that's what he wanted to do.
Oh, he went straight.
Yeah, like, he was even doing it in high school. Like, he was working on his music, and he just knew what he wanted to do. So he was like, I'm just going to do music. And then my parents were like, nah, just study. Like, my dad was like, find a TAFE course or something.
You're plumbing.
Like, oh, my God, he took him to work.
Oh, my God.
My dad does bathroom renovations.
Oh, my God.
He took him to work. My brother did one day and was like, nah, man, this is not for me. Yeah, they really wanted him to study. But then he was like, nah, it's just not for me. So when they saw how hard he worked and, like, what he did and what he was able to do, when I said I want to do acting, they were like, okay, well, you know, if you're going to do it, just work hard at it.
And be serious about it.
Be serious about it. Take it seriously. Also, I think it helped that I was at uni as well. So, they were kind of like,
I have a backup.
Yeah, if anything happens, then, like, it'll be fine. Also, I was working, so.
Oh, you were hustling.
I've been hustling. I ain't gonna lie, I've been hustling.
And that's, yeah, you had something to do, like,
yes,
to do in case it didn't work
exactly
out.
Yeah. Okay. I think, and I don't know, I don't know what they thought, but maybe they thought it was kind of like a hobby. Yeah, so. But then eventually when I was like, actually, I kind of want to do this for work.
Yeah,
I think they saw the times when I wasn't doing acting and when I didn't have a job, they were kind of like, oh, okay, it's time for you to, like, get a job. But then they also support the journey, if that makes sense.
Sorry, go on.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, how has it been able to, like, how easy is it finding roles in Australia?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, your struggles with that.
Yeah, honestly, how do I put it? They're not really checking for us here. Like, you want to be the main character. Yeah. Like, you want to be the main character, but here they're just writing us as supporting roles, you know? So I think it's difficult, one, because the roles aren't really being written for Black women, even Black men. Mm. And then two, if you do get a role, sometimes it's the token Black person or it's like a play that they've put on because it's, you know, coming out of the repercussions of Black Lives Matter and they don't want to seem racist.
Yeah, so they just threw in a diversity hire.
Exactly. Yeah. And then now you're looking at yourself and you haven't had a role in, like, years because they've gone back to not writing for you. But I also said that to say, like, it's not impossible and things are happening. Like, you know, I've been able to book something.
Yeah, but this is an African-American play.
It's African-American.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting that. And then you came on with your accent.
Accents.
I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And is most of your cast actually from America as well? Did they travel here for it?
Three of them are American. Yeah. And then the rest of us were Australian.
Okay.
And they, but all three of them have been living in Melbourne. Melbourne citizens.
Okay. Gotcha.
Oh, actually, no. Two of them Melbourne citizens. One of them a Sydney sider.
Okay, all right. Yeah. And what do you think? Like, are you thinking about traveling?
I mean, no.
Going? No?
No. I would. I definitely would. Gillian knows this. I love London. I really love London. Yeah. I went for the first time this year.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. But also I know that there, you're like a dime a dozen. Even like in America, like, true, you know, like everyone's
struggling.
Yeah.
So you rather face it out here and at least keep pushing through.
I think so. I'd rather, like, climb this battle here and climb it with all of us who are climbing this battle, African Australians who are climbing the battle and be a part of that, rather than leaving and just, like, trying to,
and then have to come back and then, you know, scramble,
rebuild.
And then rebuild. It's like, nah, I'd rather, and I'm Australian, like, I grew up here.
Yeah.
This is where I live, this is home.
You want to sit at the table, like, you just want to be created
and
for
be a part
you.
Of it.
Yeah, be a part of it.
Yeah.
That's fair, actually.
Do you feel like, even race aside, just Australia being Australia, there is, like, a ceiling on the success you can have because of the it's just not America?
Yeah.
Even, like, white Australians will leave. Like, Margot Robbie and Hugh Jackman. And, like, they leave because they know, like, the big pot at the end of the rainbow is in Hollywood. Yeah. Do you see yourself, like, wanting that level of, like,
success,
extreme, like, ridiculous superstardom? Or
Do you feel like you'd be like, it's cool to just enjoy the good weather here? And like, do you know what I mean? Like, and like,
I'm not going to say.
But LA has good weather.
Yeah, no, it doesn't anymore. I went there. I feel like it's, climate change is mashing up the seasons, babe.
That's everywhere.
Yeah, sorry, go on. Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm not going to lie and say that like I wouldn't want to have success in my field. Like everyone wants to have success in their field. Like I don't think about superstardom and like being in Hollywood, but I would love to be in a Hollywood film
kind of
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And to your point about like the glass ceiling, I think that goes back to what I was saying about roles being written for us. Mm. So like the people who have the seat at the table and who are writing the roles, if they're not writing for us, then that glass ceiling happens. But I think now a lot of people are just being like, all right, cool. We know that they're not going to write it, so then we're just going to write it ourselves.
Yeah.
We're just going to do it ourselves. Like this mm-hmm. theater company is only going to put on a play after 2020 and Black Lives Matter. Cool. We're going to put on a play because it matters. And like, it's important to tell our stories. So yes and no to the glass ceiling. I think like, obviously white, mainstream Australia, they're the ones with the most power. They're like the gatekeepers at the moment as it stands. But I think that so many of us have been like, okay, we see that and we're trying to like break through that, trying to write our own things, produce our own things, create our own paths, hire our own people.
Mm.
Yeah.
So how important is it to see black people in the audience? And I'm going back to what you said, what we were talking about before, how like you mentioned the seven people and like when there were more at opening night. And then when I came back to ask you, you guys couldn't even tell me how many. You were just like, there were so many. And do you know what was interesting? Because I worked on the show.
Yeah.
Effie had told me that
the
goal is to make the actors feel safe. And I did not understand that because I was just like, what do you mean? Like they're on stage. No one's touching them. They'll be fine. And then when you told me those numbers, the seven, and then you couldn't remember, and then seeing the delivery, I was like,
it's different.
Oh, that's what she means, it's safe space.
It's different, Gillian. It's so different. And you feel it energetically. Like that day when we came off stage, we probably would have come out being like, like our energy would have been so low. As opposed to coming out when there've been black people in the audience and went like, having black people in the audience, it just feeds us.
Yeah.
It just like gives us an energy that is just unmatched, you know? Because they're with you. Like,
And they understand they get the context of things.
Yeah, they understand the context.
The nuances, the little ways. And the way you even walked out, like,
Do you know what I mean? Like you get it.
Yeah, you get it.
Also, you're not going to put that on for a white audience. You're not going to waste your time because they're not going to get it. They're not going to laugh. They're not going to, like, react. So you're just going to...
Even in the audience, you feel safe when there's other black people. I can't imagine being on the stage.
But how does that translate if you... Because this was an all-black play.
Yeah.
So how does that translate when you're in a play that's not full of black people?
Do you mean, like...
In terms of your delivery and the audience... Because this is a black story.
Yeah.
So you're going to be in plays that aren't black stories.
Right.
And you won't necessarily play a black character.
Okay, so you're saying...
So how does the space feel when it's a different play?
When it's a different play, I feel like subconsciously I'm okay with there not being as many black people in the audience because I'm not telling a black story. So I don't feel like I need to... I don't feel like I'm telling my experience to my people in the audience and like wanting to give it everything.
Yeah,
I just feel like I'm playing a different character and I just want to like be the best of that character, if that makes sense.
No, that makes sense.
You just switch. It's more of an individual thing as opposed to a black story feels communal.
A black story feels communal. Yeah. So when you're playing a black story to a white audience, it's just different. Now you feel like you're teaching, you're explaining the black experience, but if it was black people, you're just sharing.
You're just sharing it.
So like I did a show earlier this year. I wasn't thinking about having black people in the audience, even though if there was, I'd be like, yeah, like this is for you. I was just more concerned with making people laugh, you know, and just like doing my job, being the best at what I was doing in that play. Mm. But when it's a black experience, like, you just, yeah, you want to do it for the people, for your people. Yeah,
because I worked in community engagement for another production that SCC put on last year, for Raising the Sun.
Yeah.
And you were actually the stand-in for one of the characters. I remember that.
Were you?
I was, yeah. And she actually had to come on. You did really well, by the way.
Which character?
Beneatha.
I'm not going to lie, I wasn't happy with that film. Oh, wait, no, sorry. I was thinking about Fences. Sorry, yeah.
Film, you know.
Yeah, no, it's theater production. Sorry.
Girl, anyway.
I got the two confused because, yeah, anyway, that's a different story.
Yeah. You know. And I remember, like, one of the last seasons, I did, like, a VIP night, right, which invited, like, a bunch of black people.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, the cast members were so thankful to me.
It's different. Mm-hmm.
They were so happy, and they're like, they were getting it, like, yeah, there were the things that were just going over people's heads.
Mm.
And, like, again, when I work in Seven Methods,
yeah,
I opening night, they invited a bunch of black people, and then I watched again where it wasn't as many, hardly any. I think I'm pretty sure I was one of only three or four in the audience.
Mm.
And the laughter was so much less.
Things just go over their heads, just fly over their heads. The Nigerian joke, the Methods, people don't get
it. Exactly. And it was just,
even in Is God Is, there's a line that Scotch says, and he says, like, ride or die with it, never shower with it. That's so funny. Yeah. That's so funny. And people didn't laugh sometimes.
Yeah. They wouldn't, because they wouldn't get it.
Because
they wouldn't get it at all. It wasn't written for them.
It's not written for them.
And especially with something like A Raisin in the Sun, it's such a seminal classic work.
Yeah.
And its timelessness would show if there are black people in the audience. It's like, oh, well, it's written in like 1940 or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, we still think it's hilarious. Like, the way the mum would smack her son because his hair wasn't combed. Or, do you know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing. Yeah. It was like a timeless cultural connection.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just not there.
No.
Why do you think not enough black people like go to plays? It's not accessible?
No, it's not that.
No, it actually isn't accessible. It's expensive.
Yeah.
Also, where the theatres are located, they're not in, like, it's not good public transport and stuff like that. And, yeah, so if you don't know anyone who goes to the theatre, you have no idea. So when we did Is God Is, like, the artist that we had to, like, exhibit, a lot of them had never been to the theatre.
Yeah.
Wow.
But some of them don't have the same, I guess, perception as maybe, I guess we've been going. But what I mean to say is people think of it as like a white people thing, or it's not going to be entertaining.
Yeah.
They think
is.
It's going to be like, hee, 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 like kind of shit. So they're just like, oh, I'm not interested, you know?
And when actually,
Mary, hee, hee, hee.
It's true. And, like, and also, if
she's
you,
not wrong.
If you don't go to a school that takes you to places like that,
you're
never going to know.
No, it's I went to theatre 3 times. What did I watch? What did I watch?
But that's the thing.
But the thing is, you knew though.
She'd never go back after that.
Some people go to school and never experience that.
Yeah. And the only reason why I knew was my friend, her brother, was really into theatre.
But that's the thing.
And he would always be like, yeah, we're going to this scene.
That's the thing.
I'm like, oh, okay, why not?
That, exactly. That's the thing. People only will, like, you're more likely to go if you know someone who's doing it or if it's a black show.
Yeah.
If it relates to you. Otherwise, you're not going to go.
Because that's what we were talking about for Is God Is. They were just like, oh, we want more people to come. And I said, yeah, but we're not going to come if it doesn't relate to us. And I was using one of the artists as an example because she's young.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, she's never going to go to a theatre show unless someone like me or her auntie tells her, I went to a good show, come.
Yeah.
But if you tell her it's $150, she's not going to come.
In this economy.
No. I'm like, it doesn't work. Like, you guys think this is great, but it doesn't work. And this only works now because we've got cheaper tickets and we're bringing them vibes.
Because of community
to them.
Engagement.
Yeah.
Honestly, what you and Effie did for our community engagement, like, you could have, I wrote a message to Effie and I just said to her, like, you could have the right director, the right actors, the right lights, the right everything, but without the audience and people coming, you don't, like, no one's going to see the show.
Yeah.
So what you guys did for us, like, I just,
and they really made it.
I don't even have the words. Yeah, like,
they
just
went above and beyond. Like, the restaurant was walking around with Suya.
The restaurant.
That's the thing. And it's all these elements that make people want to tell their friends and come back. Mm. And I had a young girl like say to me, I've never been to, like, I have to bring my siblings. Like, I've never been to the theatre before. I didn't even know this was on. Like, I was like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. that? It really does.
I think also like in the UK, it's quite commonplace to go to the theatre as a form of entertainment. Whereas here, it's even amongst white people, it's seen as an upper class thing.
Mm. Yeah.
Like outside of even the race thing. So it's like not a conventional weekend activity.
100%.
Whereas places like the UK, it's like, I'm going to theatre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And also there are like smaller productions.
Yeah. And they're scattered around the city.
Yeah. So like they really are.
I can even tell you, like in my group chat, they'll be like, oh, this show's out.
Yeah.
And they'll be like, yep, bought tickets, and they'll all go because it's like.
And it's accessible. It's way more affordable. Yeah. And also, historically in this country, we haven't had black theatre.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like the UK, they've had black theatre. They are continuing to have black theatre. But here in this country, like, we haven't.
Yeah.
It's only starting to happen now.
So. Do you think in Australia we have enough? I probably already know the answer to this question.
You said enough and I just already know the answer.
Black spaces.
Black spaces?
Yeah, like safe black spaces. I don't, like, okay, so when we went to Solange a couple of weeks ago, all right.
Did you all go?
Yeah, I went.
This side, three of us.
You didn't go? I actually double booked for the wedding, so I missed out.
So, we went on a food venture. Mary wanted food and we went looking for food and we ended up on Oxford Street. Mm. Yeah. And we ended up at this Greek place and we were just there and like five guys rushed us. They came in and they were like, what are you guys doing tonight? And just talking to us and we're just like, mate, we need to get out of here.
I don't know this story.
Okay. And then one of them was dancing, black guy. One of them was dancing and the owner goes to him.
That's a great place.
Yeah. And one of them was dancing. The owner goes to him, go upstairs. And I was like, oh, what's upstairs?
He said, if you want to dance, go upstairs.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, what's upstairs? And they're like, Noir. Pub. And we're like, oh, you had okay. No. And so we're like, oh, okay. And then the guys were like, yeah, so you guys want to go? And we're like, no. And so I was just like, oh, let's just get out of here. But we're waiting for the food. And so they left. And I had seen these two, a black guy and a white guy, walk past.
Yeah.
And then they came back.
Yeah.
So the moment they came back and they came in, the first thing Mary said was, you need girls to get into the club, don't you? Yeah. And one of them was like, we'll buy you two rounds, whatever.
Right.
Embarrassed. And then I walked away and I was like, are you trying to tell me that this is the only place for black guys, black people to go to?
A whole noir.
Yeah, seriously. And a lot of them. And do you know what? And do you know what? Before, I should have said before that, when we were walking up to the place, I saw a group of Ghanaian guys. Yeah. I didn't know they were all Ghanaian, but one of them, I know his face. Mm-hmm. And I thought, what is he doing here? Because it's such a random location. Like, what's happening here that he's here?
Right.
And so my mind was, I was like, this is so weird. And then after the whole thing, then I was like, oh, okay.
They were
trying. I think they were trying to get into Noir and couldn't get in because when we came back out, they were standing by the side of the road and I could hear them speaking Chi. But I was like to Mary, so you're telling me that there's nowhere?
Girl,
so like
no.
If we don't want a club,
there really isn't.
We actually can't go anywhere.
No. Unless it's an event.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's only events now.
Radar.
But then even then, events. Mm. But I don't want to always go to a party. Like I can't go to Radar because they're young. Like they're too young. Like I can't be there. Like no diss to them, but come on, I can't.
And also, I get it. Let's go somewhere. And it's like, oh.
You could never bring a friend.
Like
kick on.
Yeah.
Like we don't have kick on unless you want to go to the party.
I tried that the other day with.
You tried it with who?
No. Me and my boyfriend were out, and then he was like, let's just go dancing after dinner.
Dance where?
Dancing! A pub? Where'd you go?
A club.
Oh, like establishment or something?
I went to Argyle.
Oh, Argyle. So how was it?
I felt anxious.
Were those freaking cobblestone streets as well, Bray?
My heels as well.
Yeah.
That's what entry was Bambi. Sickening.
How much was it?
35.
Oh!
Yeah, I know.
Mad. And you paid that to get in.
I mean, you had to spend.
You had to see. You have to see what it's about. Yeah.
Anyway. First, do you think these mashups are out of control?
Oh.
Why? You know that Afrobeat song? It's like,
I'm in San Francisco, darling.
They mashed it up with Let Me Love You by
Mario. Oh. The DJs are not DJs.
They are really not.
I'm like,
it's so chaotic.
Why? The last time. How did you even think of that?
I went to a club, which actually was a couple of weeks ago for my cousin's hen. Just horrendous.
Yeah,
I really tried.
Where did you go?
It starts with C.
Carter.
I think it was Carter. Yes.
Oh, that place fell off.
Bruh.
Yeah. That
tell me why I was just walking.
It was actually I went there for my 22nd.
I just saw a gay guy's dingaling.
Oh my gosh!
Bro.
No. I think he was.
Wait. His legs were open, and he was wearing shorts. He's wearing shorts. I know. He was wearing shorts and like twerking, dingling out.
Yeah. But also,
I was. Oh my god! I was like, seen we have to go.
Poo on the I've seen poo at the floor at the Carter.
He loves telling his story.
It's the Carter. There's something wrong.
I was about to say it's the Carter.
Oh, bro, I was so horrified. Horrified.
I'm actually
El Tereble.
Well, I didn't actually see it, but it happened just after I left and someone sent me the picture and I was like, oh my gosh,
shit,
I was just
on the floor.
No, that's so bad. And they will be playing their little Afrobeats, and then you have the white people coming up to you, like, it's "Oh, go twerk, twerk!" Like, oh
my god, they've been doing that. Yeah. Like when Beyonce comes, oh my god!
And like gather around.
Yeah.
And like, go girl!
And top it off, I was carrying the cake. You know that sit down area, like we just gotta have a breathe. Let's go back down. And this white guy is like reached up behind me and goes, I love your hair. Oh. Like, he's just like, I love it. And he was like, sorry, that's so racist. And so you even know what you're doing.
I know, you stupid and then, fool.
Like, my boyfriend was like, can you like.
Aha, yeah, that's it, baby.
And then he's just like, chill.
I like that.
Was he gay?
Yeah. They're too familiar, man.
They think too much.
Anyway, yeah. He was like, I was just admiring it, and I'm like, admire it from a distance. Like, right. It was. I'm like, you can't go anywhere. Like,
we don't have anything.
Like,
is Melbourne a little better?
Oh, well, I was gonna ask what you guys think.
I know Melbourne's like, better.
Yeah, I'm still new to like Melbourne nightlife. Okay. I've only been
so like even caramel when sundaes. I was back, like even back in the days,
yeah.
When I was like. Out in the streets, I would still prefer Melbourne's nightlife over
there. 100%.
Even when
yeah.
It was popping.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's just more of us.
There's just more of us.
Is it that there's more of us or there's more people who like to vibe out?
I think it's a combination. Yeah.
But there's definitely more of us out there.
Yeah.
You reckon?
Maybe not more of y'all.
So many of y'all.
Yeah.
Right. But are y'all outside like that though?
Yes.
Okay.
Like, personally, my dad didn't want me to move in there. He's like, oh, she'll become one of those girls that has a reputation for Habersham's being wayward out there.
Oh. Okay.
That's how naughty they are.
I definitely think, the energy is different.
I think so too. Yeah, I'm still excited to, like, see what the nightlife is like because I didn't, being there during the show, we were just, like,
working.
From rehearsal to the hotel. Mm. I mean, we did go out a couple nights when I was with my friends, but, yeah, I still want to, like... I want to see it.
Mm. Yeah, no, did you move to Melbourne for theatre?
No, my family moved.
Oh.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we out there.
Oh, cool.
So you're back and forth between Sydney and Melbourne now?
Right now, yeah. But I just need to finish this degree.
it's already done, babe.
It's done.
It's just like a couple of essays. You're nearly there.
Yeah, literally.
I used to put like a table, and every time I would finish an assessment, I'd colour it in. I've done that. That's how I was getting through, babe.
I've done that.
Like, only two more boxes left, and I'm done with this degree. Yeah. That's why I had to do that, babe. Sometimes when you're scraggling towards the end.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, you gotta push yourself. Yeah.
Do you remember the first time your parents saw
a show? Yes, I do, actually. Yeah, they came and saw Boundary Road. That was the second show I did.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, I remember him just being like, I don't remember everything you guys said, but like, such an
African response. I don't know what you guys are saying, but
you were but like, now. Well done. And he actually, my parents both came to see Raisin in the Sun when I went on.
Wow.
Yeah, and same thing, like, they were just proud.
That's beautiful.
Yeah,
I love that.
Proud.
But how do you people be remembering those lines?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
is it?
Oh, yeah, but like, when you think about it, we remember lyrics.
Like, no, you two do.
Yeah, exactly.
Mary, we're actually the same.
I love this. Someone said to me earlier, like, oh my gosh, when I was like 24, someone's like, you should do theatre. Wait, was it one of you guys?
I don't know.
No, it wasn't one of us, but you said it, and I said, that makes
you
sense.
You could.
You would be really good.
Yeah, you could, she Mary. She's a walking freaking character.
I also did drama in United.
Yeah, I see
and she remembers, like, movie lines and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Like, technically, like, we remember more than we realize.
Okay.
Like, you just, it's just repetition.
Especially when you have those rehearsals.
Yeah, and we have rehearsals, and you just keep repeating it. You just keep repeating it, and then you just
remember. And then it becomes like, what do you call it?
Second nature.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is just like second nature. You just keep saying the words.
Wow.
Well.
Yeah. So do you remember God is?
I do, yeah. I even remember the first show.
But it's ended. She doesn't need to remember.
But I remember it. I do.
Do I need to remember all these Simpsons? Yeah. Let's go away.
Even the show I did in January, like I could recite. Yeah, I could recite my lines. And even the lines before and after me.
Do you take fish oil and stuff for memory and like brain concentration?
That's so ridiculous.
Is that a real question?
That's what my mom used to say. Yeah, it's very good for you. Take some and it'll be very good for your memory.
Oh my God.
Used to give it to me in HSC. Oh, yeah, hot tip for you guys. You have to do your HSC.
They're finishing up now, baby.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, beautiful, mate.
Well, before we wrap up, I just wanted to ask, what advice would you give to someone who's got the same background as you, from the same place as you, and wants to follow a similar path?
Especially in Australia.
Yeah. Especially in Australia.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say don't let the glass ceiling deter them from pursuing what they want to pursue. Because it's possible. Like, it's so possible. And I feel like a common misconception is, like, it's hard to get into the industry. And, it is. You know, like, there's some places that it's hard to get into, and that's not to discount that. But I just feel like if you love it, you will make a way. And you should. And you should, especially if you enjoy it. Like, there's so many programs out there. Like, PYT was just a great place for me just to have fun with other people. And if you want to make a career out of it, then you will find a way. Like, there's so many generous, kind people out there who will give you advice and help you out and help you on your way. So just do it.
Love that. And please plug yourself. Where can we find you?
It's henrietta.a.
Everywhere?
On Instagram.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
You're not YouTubing anymore, are
you? No, not YouTubing. Yeah. No.
An error.
Yeah.
It was an error. Throwback.
Yeah, YouTube did rule the world at one point.
Oh my God, it was crazy.
Had to make her for TikTok.
I know.
Yeah, TikTok.
Thank you, Henrietta.
Thank you so much. Had so much fun.
Thank you.
Bye.
See you in the next episode.
Yeah.
Bye.
Okay.